Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Or as we've seen, be being filled with the Spirit. It is supposed to be a lifestyle for us as Christians. It's not supposed to be something we do hit and miss. It's not something we're supposed to do just once initially. It's something that we're living, a lifestyle of being filled. And in order for us to live that way, in order for us to be filled, we're going to have to drink of the Spirit. And the way we drink of the Spirit is by our speaking. Speaking in other tongues and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. And then by giving praise to God. Did you know that you were, as you were praising God this morning, what was happening? Part of what is happening is you're getting filled with the Spirit. Amen. And again, I just want to remind you of this. I know a lot of times people wonder where they're at. Am I filled with the Spirit right now? Am I just three quarters of the way full? Am I halfway full? The way you can tell that you're full of the Spirit is when all of a sudden throughout your day, it just comes flowing out of you. You know, again, if you went to fill your car up and they didn't have those little nozzles, I mean, that, you know, the thing that, how does that do that, Jake? That nose, when the tank is full, it just automatically kicks off. Is that, does anybody know how that works? I guess it doesn't matter. Because, but let's just say, remember how that used, they didn't have that on there. And the only way you could tell if it was full was it began to come back up out of that mouth, right? And that's exactly the same way that you can tell that you're full of the Spirit. All of a sudden throughout your day, you're not even thinking about it. It just comes flowing out of you. It just comes flowing out of you. You're in the shower. You're not even having to. It just comes flowing out of you. That means you're full of the Spirit. Amen. That's the way we're supposed to be throughout our day. Every day, full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And lately, what we've been doing is, I said this, in order to be filled with the Spirit, or be being filled with the Spirit, we have to be first filled with the Spirit. Amen. And so we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is the baptism of the Holy Spirit for us today? Is it still around today? A lot of churches, did you hear what I just said? A lot of churches would say otherwise. And they will come up with all kinds of different theories and opinions, or pull a scripture from here or pull a scripture from there to try to substantiate their beliefs that it isn't for us today, that it's either passed away or that it's of the enemy, that it's of the devil. That's not good. Amen. What do we base our lives on as Christians? What should we base our lives on? What should have the final authority in our lives? What Uncle Joe said? What our denomination says? Or what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And so far in this study, what I did, the way the Lord had me do it this time, is to ask this question. Why is the devil so adamantly opposed to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Why is the devil so against Christians getting filled with the Spirit and speaking in other tongues? I mean, it is spoken against big time. And I'm not just talking on the outside, those in the world. I'm talking from within the church itself. Why is the devil so adamantly opposed to this? And the way the Lord had me directed me to do this is to talk about the benefits of being filled with the Spirit. And as a Christian, we should want to be able to experience those benefits in our lives. How many were here during that part of the study? Now, one of the good things, and I want to reiterate, was on our announcements. We've caught up now with our podcasts. And so you can go, if you miss something or you miss a service for whatever reason, you can go to our webpage now and you can hear the recent services. Or you can go way back and listen to something from way back when. Amen. But anyway, the Spirit of God, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, We are then open to all of these different benefits that we've talked about. And again, I'm not going to mention them all, go through them all again today. But there's, I believe, 8 or 9 different benefits to being filled with the Spirit. And I'm not saying that's an exhaustive list. That's just what I covered. And then I also began last week talking about the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. The Spirit within and the Spirit upon. What we've got to understand as Christians is when we get born again, the Spirit of God comes where? He comes and takes up residence on the inside of you and me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is eternally defeated in this world. Of course, that's the way I like to say it. I love it saying it that way. How about you? Do you like to hear it being said that way? Glory to God. And also we can see in John 14, 16, 17 says, "And I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And then we saw in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 2 Corinthians 6:16 that it speaks of us being the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Amen. Glory to God. But then we looked at the fact of the Spirit of God coming upon us. Where is that found at? In Acts 1:8, the Bible says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Everybody say upon you. Upon you. "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Again, think about it. Here is Jesus Christ, the head of the church, telling his disciples and his followers at that time, "Now you need to go in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost comes, because you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come upon you. And the reason he's going to come upon you is to empower you." Empower you for what? To be the most effective witness that you can possibly be for Jesus Christ. Amen. How many know that when you're full of the Holy Spirit, that glory to God, it's going to be pretty, I believe it's the truth for me to say it this way, it's pretty easy to do the miraculous. Because it's not you doing the miraculous, it's God through you doing the miraculous. Amen. And when you are full of Him, when He has come upon you, then when He leads you to step out and do something, He's going to be right there to make sure it comes to pass. Oh, glory to God. I said glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to move on this morning, and I want to talk to you a little bit about what is the difference between being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. You can either look it up or you can just look up here. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." What is this talking about right here? This is speaking of the new birth. The new birth. Listen to this same verse from the Living Bible. Do I have that, James? Yeah, there it is. "Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ." Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles. Some are slaves and some are free. But the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. Now notice this next part. "We have been baptized into Christ's body by the one Spirit and have all been given that same Holy Spirit." So when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit not only comes and takes up residence on the inside of you, he also is the one who baptizes you into the body of Christ. Does everybody see that right now? Once you get born again, you become the body of Christ in the earth today. You are baptized into that body by the Spirit. Everybody with me? Then go to Luke chapter 3, 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says this. "John answered," this is speaking of John the Baptist, "saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What is this speaking of? This is speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, look, John 1:33. I don't know if I got that one. Did I give you that one? Yeah. Upon whom you see the Spirit descending, this is after Jesus Christ had been baptized in the River Jordan, and remaining on him, this is he, speaking of Jesus, who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So, when we get born again, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. But after we get born again and we get filled with the Spirit, it's Jesus who baptizes us with the Spirit. Does everybody see that and recognize that? Can you see the difference between the two? All right? Now, I want to share with you some examples from the Bible of different individuals or different groups of people who are shown to first get born again of the Spirit, or born of the Spirit, as we're going to see, and then after that are filled with the Spirit. All right? Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. This first one, I don't think people really stop and think about it, but I believe this is a great example. How about Jesus? How about Jesus? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before betrothed. What are y'all laughing at? Betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." How was Jesus born? How was Jesus conceived? Of the Holy Spirit. Everybody see that? All right? Now go to Matthew 3:16. Hallelujah. Matthew 3:16 says, "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting or coming down upon him." Amen. So Jesus was born of the Spirit, but here we're seeing that Jesus then had the Spirit of God come upon him. Amen. Why would Jesus need the Spirit of God to come upon him? Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But the bottom line is, well, let's answer that question. Why would Jesus need to be filled with the Spirit since he's God? People will come and argue with this, about this. Why would Jesus need to be filled with the Spirit if he's God? The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, and I want you to look up at these scriptures from the New Living Translation. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Don't go to the next one. So, he was God, but he did not think the fact that he was God is something he needed to cling to. What is that telling us? That means he's now going to step out from the portals of heaven and do what God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in himself had come up with, this plan of redemption. And so what he's talking about here is the next verse. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. What are we talking about? About all of the privileges of being God. Of being omnipotent, that means all powerful. Of being omniscient, That means all-knowing. And about being omnipresent. That means everywhere at once. Wrap your brain around that one. That's the things he gave up. And again, why? Because he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He became a man like you and me. Are you hearing me? It's so simple for me to comprehend and understand this, but for a lot of people, they can't comprehend this because Jesus was 100% God, but he laid aside those divine attributes, those divine privileges to become a man. So he was 100% God and 100% man. Is everybody with me? How could that be? He's God. Go ask him. But the point I want to say is this. He did it for a reason. Because if Jesus did what he did on this earth as God, could we ever expect to do what he did? To follow his example? It wouldn't be possible. He had to do it as a man. He was showing us, giving us the example of how to live by faith and how to trust in God throughout your life. Amen. And that means everything Jesus did except for his sacrifice, giving his life, because it was only he could have done that. Amen, because he was the only one who ever lived without sin. But otherwise, everything Jesus did as an example to us. Jesus in his praying was an example for us how to pray. Jesus in his walking in authority gave us an example how we're supposed to walk in authority. Jesus in his miracles, did you hear what I just said? Gave us an example how we're supposed to be operating and doing the miracles in the earth today. Amen. Now we don't do them in and of ourselves. We do them in and through him, in his name. Amen. Glory to God. So Jesus had to have the Spirit of God come upon him. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how Jesus was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power, who then went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. He had to be anointed with the Spirit. He had to have the Holy Ghost come upon him. Glory to God. In order to fulfill his destiny. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus did nothing. No miracles. No signs and wonders. No matter what books are out there. No matter what movies are made. Where Jesus healed little boys. Healed other little children when he was a baby or a child. Healed the birds when he was a child. And healed other. He didn't do any miracles. Until after the Holy Spirit had come upon him. Amen. That's huge. That's big. That should give us an excitement in our spirits. Because guess what? We got the same Holy Ghost in us. And if we're baptized in the Holy Ghost, we've got the same Holy Ghost on us. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Friends, listen. If we want to fulfill our destinies and do all that God has called us to do as Christians, we're going to have to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm convinced of it. Now, I'm not saying that people who are born again and not filled with the Holy Spirit are not ever going to be able to fulfill their destinies or fulfill some of their destinies. But I'm of the mindset, until you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it limits you big time. Hello? I firmly believe that. It opens you up to so much more. I mean, why did Jesus is our example? He got filled with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God came upon him. Who are we to say we don't need that? Amen. Okay, I'll just preach to myself up here. I know you're thinking, right? That's what's going on right now. Okay, so Jesus is an example. How about the disciples? John 20, 21 and 22. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus did this, is that referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. This is talking about the new birth. Think about it from this perspective. When God first created man, what did he do? He formed man out of the dust of the earth, right? So you gotta put, you know, put man, come here, come here, come here, Riley. Oh, you're taking notes. Come here, Jake. This is gonna be Adam. So you're lifeless right now. Just stand there. You're just a So he formed him, put them together. I like these glasses. I like that. I'll put that on him. Formed him, and I'm not gonna do this, but that'd be really weird. But he then breathed his life. He's going, thank you, Jesus. Breathed his life into his nostrils and into his mouth. And when he did that, Adam then went, you're alive now. Adam, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Going good. We can walk and talk with one another amongst the garden right now. It's awesome. Okay, go sit down, Adam. So God breathed life into Adam at the beginning, right? But here, Jesus is breathing life into his disciples at the beginning of the new creation. Isn't that awesome? You ever seen that before? Glory to God. This is when the disciples got born again. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's so glorious. Isn't that powerful? Thank you, Lord. But was that all they needed, though? I mean, they're gotten born again, right? But is that all they needed? We know that's not, is it? Because that's when Jesus then went on to tell them, I need you to go wait in Jerusalem till you receive this gift from God so that you can then be effective witnesses for me. Amen. And what happens on the day of Pentecost, as we've seen in this study, what happens in Acts 2:4? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So there's two different occurrences. They got born again, then they get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak with other tongues. Amen. Okay, what about the Samaritans? We're not going to go to these. We're not going to go right now because I'm going to use this example from in another thing I have about it, another section. But you can write this down. The Samaritans is Acts 8, 5 and 6, and then verse 12, and then 14 through 17. So we'll go to those scriptures in just a moment. But what about the Ephesians? The Ephesians. This happens in Acts chapter 19. Look at verse 1 in Acts chapter 19. The Bible says this, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Stop. Don't go any further. Now, are they born again? No, they're not. They're not born again at this point. They've been baptized with John's baptism of repentance. But they are not born again. Now go on. Verse 4. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What just happened here? Nobody wants to answer. They get born again. They're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is where the Ephesians get born again right here. But then notice verse 5. Oh, verse 6. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So they get born again. They receive. They're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They get born again. And then afterwards, Paul lays hands on them, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and begin to speak with other tongues. Can you see the two separate occurrences? Amen. Now, many will argue, and I've actually heard a minister say this on the radio, a well-known minister. He made this comment that I have all the Holy Spirit I need. I don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I have all the Holy Spirit that I need. So what is he saying to Jesus then? What is he saying to Jesus then? That Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about? Hello? If Jesus told his disciples, what does that mean? Followers, that's us, that we need to receive this gift from God after we get born again, then who are we to say, I've got all the Holy Spirit that I need? Amen. I want all that Jesus has made available for us. Amen. Glory to God. So here, go to Acts chapter 8 now. Is it the truth that people have all the Holy Spirit they can have upon the new birth? Is this the truth? Acts 8 verse 5 says this. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, can I just throw in a little side note here? Can you see the importance of not just preaching the word of God, but of also having accompanying signs and wonders? Amen. I mean, when you go and tell somebody about Jesus, there's a great possibility that person's heard about Jesus. I'm talking about in this country. There's a great possibility that probably everybody in this country, to one degree or another, has heard about Jesus. I mean, either they've heard about him or they've heard someone take the Lord's name in vain. Jesus. Have you ever wondered if they ever say Buddha? How could, you know, in those, never mind. When Jesse DePlanis said it was a lot funnier, wasn't it? Okay, anyway. Jesse. But where was I at? Help me, Holy Spirit. Where was I at? Thanks a lot, guys. You're not helping me. Okay, do we need to start over this morning? Go with me to... So, okay, let's just go pick it up right here. Okay, thank you. Thank you. See, Marianne was listening. You get the brownie points today, girl. There should be accompanying signs and wonders. And what were those that Philip was doing? For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Glory to God. And notice what comes as a result of that. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. Again, it doesn't say there was joy in that city. It says there was great joy in that city. People were having a Holy Ghost hoedown. Is it okay for us to get excited in church? Is it okay for us to shout in church? Is it okay for us to laugh in church? Is it okay for us to jump up and down in church? Is it okay for us to dance a jig in church? Glory to God. Amen, brother. Come on now. Come on now. Because I guarantee you go to most churches. Never mind, I'll stop one on my head. Verse 12 now. So there's great joy in that city. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. What's this referring to? This is talking about salvation. They got born again. But notice verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Why would they send Peter and John to them if they already had the Holy Ghost to the fullness of all that they needed to him in their lives after they got born again? Why did they send Peter and John to them? Verse 15. Who when they had come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Again, that's referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had only been born again. Verse 17, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, if getting born again and having the Holy Spirit come and take up residence in you is all of the Spirit that you need, then again, why did Peter and John go and lay hands on these Samaritans to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Friends, we've got to comprehend and understand this. These are two separate occurrences. These are two separate gifts from God. The first gift, the new birth, is for our salvation. We get born again. We become a child of God. The second gift is for our divine empowerment, to be able to go out and fulfill our destinies and become the most effective witness we can possibly be for Jesus Christ. Amen. Two separate occurrences. Amen. Now, it's possible for a person to get born again and to get filled with the Spirit at the same time. That's a possibility. But you have to first be born again in order to get filled with the Holy Spirit, in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? Everybody with me this morning? Now, listen to this one. This is somebody who was pretty well known in the Bible. The Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 9, verse 3 says, as he, speaking of Saul, journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Now, I believe, as do many others, that this is when Paul gets born again, Saul gets born again. How do I know that? Well, doesn't the Bible tell us in Romans 10, 9 and 10? That if we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that he's been raised from the dead, that we shall be saved. And obviously Paul believed that Jesus has been raised from the dead because he's talking to him. Hello? And what does Paul call him? What? Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe that he's been raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. So I believe right here is when Paul got born again. Now, verse 17 says this, and Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So does this say Ananias came to preach the gospel to the Apostle Paul, to Saul at this time? Does it say that he came to preach the gospel to him, to get him born again? No. As far as Ananias was concerned, Saul was already born again. How do I know that? Because Ananias calls Saul his brother. He calls him his brother. So then why did Ananias come? To lay hands on him that he might receive his sight and so that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is where Paul got filled with the Holy Spirit, right here in this occurrence. Amen. Glory to God. Again, if you get all of the Holy Spirit that you need upon the new birth, then why did Paul need to get filled with the Holy Spirit after he first got born again? Why? Because Jesus, the head of the church, told his disciples, after getting born again, for them to go and wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father came. Until the day of Pentecost came and the Spirit of God fell on them, and then they got filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Are you listening to me? This is what Jesus has established for us, the church. Is the book of Acts talking about the same church that we're a part of? Should we not be able to look in our Bibles, in the book of Acts, and see a mirror reflection of what is going on in our lives in this church? And if we're not, then what should we be doing? Making some adjustments in our lives. Stirring ourselves up to get to the place where we are seeing in this church what took place in the book of Acts. Are you hearing me? I've heard this said before, and probably some of you have heard this said before. The book of Acts is not over. It's still being written to this day. And I don't know about you, when I get to heaven, I want to read my name in the book of Acts. Because why? Because I was doing what God had called me to do. I got born again, and then I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I lived a life filled with the Spirit, and I went forth from there doing what God had called me to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many believe that you can do what Jesus did? I'm stirring you up, folks. I want this church to get so full of the Spirit that when we come together, we're going to have Holy Ghost hoedowns. Can it get like that? Should it get like that? We should not come to church and frown at one another. We should not come to church and all the time be looking at our watches. We should not come to church and be thinking, wonder what I'm going to be eating today. I wonder what I can watch when I get home from TV. I wonder if I should go out on the boat today on this pretty day. See what I'm saying? Your mind is elsewhere. When we come together, when we are here with one accord as Christians full of the Holy Ghost, then glory to God, we should be expecting something good to be happening in our midst. We should be so full and excited of Jesus, being full and excited because we are full of Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, I should never see a frown on anybody's face in here. I know that you're challenged. We're all challenged. We've been greatly challenged. I mean, I cannot express to you. Riley knows. James knows. But glory to God, through it all, we have glory. Raised up. Is that right? We have gotten up. Me and my English. We have made this decision. No matter what we see, no matter what we feel, we live based upon what we believe. And if that's the truth of the matter, and if we really believe this, we're not going to let it get us down. The other day when I paid those bills, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm looking at that and I'm like going, God. And I went out to my wife and she said, honey, aren't you glad? She started smiling at me and I'm like going, I don't want to smile right now. She started getting happy with me and I said, I don't want to get happy right now. And then all of a sudden I came, just a revelation rose up in my heart. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Have I always been faithful in your life? Have I always come through for you? Did I not call you here for such a time as this? And within that calling, within the word I spoke to you, is everything you need to see this through to the end. Hallelujah. All I got to do is keep standing on the promise of God. I got to keep standing and believing that everything He's spoken to my heart is coming to pass. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, I know my God is faithful and I know my God is coming through for me. And when I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and when I'm staying filled with the Holy Ghost, instead of getting over here and having a pity party, I'm going to get over here and begin to shout and get excited because, glory to God, I know my God is coming through for me. Amen. Woo! I'm preaching now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! That's the way we're supposed to be with one another. All of us. We should come together and we should get excited about when we come. Oh man, I want to know what God's going to do today in church. I want during worship. I'm just ready. Glory. Listen to me. I know we don't have instruments yet, but glory to God. Well, they're practicing, aren't you? But right now we got people up there that are worshiping Jesus, and I really love it. Hallelujah. We are not ashamed to worship Jesus in this place. And we're going to keep lifting our voice to Him. And as we all, and when I'm saying that, I want you to catch this. We, that means all of us, come to the realization Woo! I can join in. I can enter in. I don't care what I just went through. I don't care what I'm facing. I know this much, God. I'm going to praise you even though I don't feel like it. I'm going to lift a sacrifice of praise to you right now. And when that happens, that's when the Holy Ghost falls into place. Woo! Hallelujah. See, I've been in services. Now listen how I'm saying that. I've been in services where the Spirit of God falls in such a manner we couldn't even move. I've been in services where the Spirit of God falls and people are running all over the place. I've been in services where I ran, and when I hit that back wall, I thought I was going up it. I mean, the Spirit of God came on me so strong. I've been in services where, now get this, some of you may never heard this before, but that's okay. I've been in services where I got so drunk in the Holy Ghost, and Pastor Jim, Pastor Donna, and my wife crawled out of the service. Yeah, I did. Your pastor got drunk in the Holy Ghost. And guess what? You can too. God has something for us. It's called being filled with the Spirit. Being drunk with alcohol is just a cheap, it doesn't even compare with the real thing. God, when we're full of Him and you get over into that joy of the Lord, you tap into that peace of God. There's nothing like it on this earth. Amen. Glory to God, you can experience God to a degree. I want to be just like, who was it, Enoch? The walk with God and then was he got translated? I just want to be, I want to be in my office and I'm just worshiping God. And I'm just praising God and I got my music going. And there's nobody around and I'm shouting and I'm praising Him. And I'm shouting and I'm having a good time worshiping Him. And then all of a sudden I open my eyes and I look around. And I'm not in my office anymore. Oh, I've been translated to heaven. Can that happen? I heard it said that there's going to be more of those kinds of things happening in this day than ever before. I'm not saying you go to heaven and stay in heaven. I'm saying you go there and experience heaven. Oh, can that really happen, Pastor Dan? Listen to me. Do you really believe this is true? There is the spirit realm is real. This natural realm is temporary. I know for a fact that soon and very soon we're going to be in that spirit realm. Hallelujah. And if we get, how did Enoch get to that place? He wasn't even born again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He had obviously heard of Adam and Eve walking and talking with God. They must have shared with him and talked with him about this, and he got excited about it. I'm not going to get caught up in the things around me. I'm going to praise my God. And he began to praise his God. And when he began to praise his God, he got to that place where he stepped out of the natural realm into the spirit realm. He was translated to heaven. Can that really happen? Oh, dear Jesus. God is so good. I want a church full of people that are just so full of Jesus, so full of the Spirit. The only way that's going to happen is if you're first filled with the Holy Spirit. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. Is it for today? I got a few more things I want to share with you. Not today, but I'm going to share some more, a little bit more stuff, and then I'm going to share with you 7 steps. Brother Hagin has the book out there. I have followed these steps. I have taught classes on this, and almost 99% of the people I've taught and I've laid hands on have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking with other tongues. That's a lot. I would like for it to be 100%. But there are some people who get to that place where all of a sudden they get this kind of mindset and it just shuts them down. They get from out of their hearts, into their heads, and all of the junk they've heard, and it keeps them from stepping out in faith. But once you hear these simple steps to being filled with the Spirit, I guarantee you this much. If you're not filled with the Spirit yet, you will be. And this is what I would say to anybody in here. Listen to the what the Word says. Listen to what the Bible says. Not me, the Bible. And once you see it in the Bible, this is what I used to always tell people when I gave them this little book from Brother Hagin. Read this and say, this is for me. This is, because you're reading Scripture. This is for me. Glory, I see it in the Bible. This is for me. And right now, what you should be saying, if you're not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, is this simple statement. I'm going to receive. I'm going to receive this gift from God. Don't let the negative thoughts come of the enemy. You need to be saying all the time from your mouth, I'm going to receive it because I see it in God's Word. I'm going to receive it by faith based upon God's Word. Hallelujah. And for those people who are already filled with the Spirit, maybe somebody in here has been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you have not spoke with tongues in a long time. And you would like to see that begin to flow once again. I'll lay hands on you too. And I'll see you flowing in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It changes you. I'm endeavoring to pray more in the Spirit than I ever have before. Glory. I know, Mark, how many hours did you say you prayed the other day? I mean, it's been a while now. Like 8 hours, 9 hours? 8 hours praying. I guarantee that brother was charged up. When you pray in the Spirit that long, it does something to you. I mean, I can come out from praying in the Spirit, and it literally does something to you. Because what does the Bible say? It edifies you. It edifies you. Glory to God. So, let's be expecting in here. I want a church full of people filled with the Holy Ghost. Because, see, when we come together then with one accord, and we come together and we lift our voice and praise Him, we're not going to be freaking out because we hear the person next to us praying in tongues or worshiping God in tongues. We're just going to join right in. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It is two separate occurrences. Getting born again, being filled with the Spirit. Get a hold of that. All it takes in order to get born again is to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. Believe that He's been raised from the dead. You get born again. Amen. And in order to get filled with the Spirit, all you could do is receive it by faith. Glory to God. It's a gift from God. And we'll get more into that next week. Amen. Amen. So come next week expecting to receive. I don't know if I'll get there, but that's up to the Lord, you know, because sometimes He has me go on little rabbit trails. Someone was asking me about that the other day. Why do you go off on rabbit trails? And this was, in fact, it was John. John had come in here and he was talking about, he said to me, he goes, Pastor Dan, you'll go off and you'll share something and you'll say, I don't know why I'm off saying this. And every time I want to stand up, it's for me. Because what you're saying is for me. And I said to him, you know why that is? I said, because you come hungry to church. When you come hungry to church, God will take the minister of God who's following the leading of the Spirit and go that direction to fill you up. Answer your questions. Oh, now see, what should that do to you? That should make you want to come hungry. Come hungry to church. How do you get hungry? Stir it up. Stir it up. And I come through those doors, when I hit those doors, I'm going to be so hungry for you, God. I'm going to be so, oh, glory to God. I'm expecting to receive today, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And see, what happens, and I'm not saying God, I'm kind of running off a little bit here, but that's okay. Listen, because this is important. When you come to church, it's not always about you. Amen. Yeah. This is huge. When you come to church, yes, you should want and expect to receive from God. But what about the person next to you? What about the person that's sitting behind you or sitting in front of you, sitting beside you? What if they need you to minister to them, but you didn't take the time to get full of Him? So we ought to come to church not only expecting to receive, but also expecting to be used. How can you use me today, God? I've had a young man in this church been coming up to me and sending me texts lately and speaking words of encouragement over my life. Oh, that blesses me. It's okay for you to speak words of encouragement to your pastor. Hallelujah. I've said it to you before. I have feelings. And I have emotions. And I deal with the same things that you deal with, and probably to a higher degree, because I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm going to face a stricter judgment than you are. Not real big for me. Hallelujah. Listen, I want us all to come and get so full of Jesus that we're helping one another, that we're rallying around one another. God wants to show up in our services. God is wanting to move in our services. Praise His holy name. He's so good. And He wants to use all of us. Can I tell off on you, Christine? She has no idea what I'm going to talk about. Tuesday, she went to the women's Bible study at Treeline. And I don't remember the exact how the whole conversation went. But my wife was sharing this with me, but Riley was sharing her heart about some different things, some different challenges. And Christine, with tears streaming down her face, began to minister to her and speak life to her and encourage her. And that's what we're supposed to do with one another. Glory to God. We're supposed to be there for each other. Amen. I mean, have you ever seen me come up to you and say, boy, your hair looks horrible. Have I ever come up to somebody and said, man, your shirt, that's ugly. Have I ever done that to anybody in here? I mean, I'm since... Look, these two back here. They're my kids. I'm allowed to. Even Casey. Listen, the reason I was saying that is to say this. We've got to be encouragers. We've got to be ones that lift each other up. I don't care what you look like or smell like. Most of the time. I just want to be here for one another. There's something about the love of God. There's something about the love of God. People want that. We have it. We have it. He's poured His love out in our hearts. That's been my prayer lately. Lord, I want a greater revelation of how much You love me. I know that's the greatest revelation He's ever given to me, but how many know once you get a revelation doesn't mean that's the end of it. You keep growing in it, and I want to keep growing in it. I want a greater revelation of His love for me. Get that revelation in your heart. Doesn't matter what you face out here, because you know the one who loves you is there for you and will come through for you. Rally around one another. Put your arms around one another. Encourage one another. We are family. How many remember that song? Okay. Glad Mark sung it and not me. So, but that's it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You so much for the word today. My prayer, Father God, is for these people.